Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. Pakistan is holding historic elections tomorrow. This will be the first democratically elected government in Pakistan to serve out its entire term, and after the vote, will be the first to pass on leadership. But more than 100 people have been killed leading up to tomorrow's vote. The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones is in Lahore. Owen, what's the feeling there ahead of the elections?
There is a huge amount of excitement here. I was out on the streets last night and there were carloads of young people hanging out of the windows, one standing in the boot, some sitting on the roofs, and they were waving flags for their various parties. The main two contenders here are Nawaz Sharif, formerly Prime Minister, going for a third term, and Imran Khan, the cricketer-turned-politician, written off as a no-hoper for years and years, and he's put this really big challenge in. So these two parties attracted these young people to get in their cars, and they were out on the streets. Long live Imran, long live Nawaz. Very good-natured, everyone smiling, everyone happy. They're hoping to vote for change, many of these young people, but at least to vote for a new democratically elected government to have a democratic transition.
Well, we just have to ask, I want to ask you about the violence, but we just have to ask about the spills, because Imran Khan, the candidate, fell off a stage the other day. Is he okay?
He's okay. Well, he's okay. I mean, he's in hospital, he's nothing life-threatening, and he will have the use of all his limbs, but he has cracked a vertebrae quite badly and is basically going to have to stay stock still for 3 or 4 weeks, so he can't vote. Now then, he gave an appeal from his hospital bed last night to a huge rally, his final rally, and he did it for 9 minutes. Actually, I have to say, people say his speeches have improved since he's gone to hospital because he's much shorter. And he gave a very emotional appeal. He talked about as an American type speech, he talked about the breakup of his marriage, about the relationship with his children, about his feelings for the country, and just said, I've done my bit. If you want change, you have to vote for me. And he is the change candidate here. And I tell you, there are a huge number of Pakistanis responding to his message.
Well, and maybe he gets a sympathy vote as well, calling from the hospital bed. But tell us more about the role of the young people, because we understand there are new young voters who may not be as familiar with the past, or maybe they are. You know, of course, Benazir Bhutto, the former prime minister, assassinated in 2007. You've got the former president, unelected president, the military leader, Pervez Musharraf, who fled a courtroom's very bizarre story. He's going to be tried in his home, I guess, for charged with detaining judges. All of this swirling around. Do these young people take more of a pure look at the elections?
They look at a country that doesn't work. Yeah, they've got bombings every day. They've got power cuts for up to 18 hours a day. They know it's not working here. I'll give you a story which illustrates what's going on. There's an elderly gentleman I know, a very distinguished man, who lives in Peshawar. And he emailed me this morning and he said, look, I just got an email from a young person who I barely know, who said, uncle, in other words, a term of respect, uncle, you have had your chance to run this country. You failed. Please let the young people have their chance. Vote for change. That means vote for Imran Khan. And he said, I couldn't answer that. I'm going to do it.
Well, what's the appeal of the other candidate for those voting for him?
Yeah, I mean, he may not win Imran Khan, despite this huge surge of support for him. So we've got Nawaz Sharif, twice formerly Prime Minister, who many people think will get the largest number of seats. He's got a vast political machine here. I mean, his operation is quite remarkable for the way it can deliver votes, particularly in urban areas of Punjab, where I'm sitting now. There'll be many, many PMLN, that's his party, many, many of their candidates will win here. So it's all a question of how many they win. And, you know, will Imran get 60? Will Nawaz get 100? These are the questions, because then afterwards there will be a very tricky negotiation about a coalition. I imagine lots of people will be visiting Imran Khan's hospital bed and trying to do deals. And then on the other hand, the PPP, the people who are ruling now, Benazir Bhutto's party, they have hardly campaigned, they say, for fear of attack. And I think that's quite legitimate, probably. One of the wonderful things about this election and the reason people are so engaged in it is that for once they don't know the result. I mean, normally they're fixed. Not going to be very fixed, this one, and people just genuinely don't know who's going to win.
Well, just if you don't mind, if I just take an American-centric point of view for a second, what will this mean for relations with the U.S.? Did one candidate talk more about drone strikes, for instance, than the other?
Well, the two most popular candidates, Imran Khan and Nawaz Sharif, are saying that they want an end to the drone program, that they want an end to the U.S. war on terror in their country. Now, we have to see what they are going to do after the election. And it may be that U.S. money, once again, prevails, that the army takes a view which is not basically respecting the people's view. That's what normally happens here. The army tends to run security policy, and they just tell the democratic politicians, well, you can say what you like, but we're carrying on with the American relationship. So, you know, there are lots of things to discuss after the election, but certainly this government that is coming in will be less friendly to the United States than the one that's been here for the last 5 years.
Well, you mentioned that the military might say, we will carry on with our U.S. relations. There's another perspective that there's an arm of the military and the secret police that is not at all siding with the U.S. and is, in fact, harboring the Taliban and helping the Taliban. Which candidate might stand up to that or not?
No candidate can stand up to the army on security policy. The army runs security policy here, and that's the end of it. It's a highly complex situation. What you're describing is army support for the Afghan Taliban. Yeah, thousands of Pakistani troops have been killed fighting the Pakistan Taliban. Right. It's a crucial distinction, which is often missed in American analyses of what's going on here. So that all plays into the American withdrawal from 2014 and how that's going to... Sorry, we've got lightning here. I hope you can still hear me. That's how... there is the 2014 withdrawal. And when that happens, what the relationships are with the Afghan Taliban, Pakistan Taliban, how they use each other's sanctuaries and across border sanctuaries and all that, is going to be highly complicated. And it's going to, you know, throw everything open. But all that is, you know, going to be handled between the army and the American generals who come over here and try and manage that relationship.
Hmm. Well, Owen, always painting such a great picture for us. You've told one story. Just is there another image that jumps out at you from this campaign before we let you go?
Well, I was in a shrine the other day. These are the Sufi shrines where people go and dance and sing to as part of their faith. And they're always filled with beggars who, you know, many of them in absolutely terrible shape. And there's this bloke who was singing, trying to get a few coins. And I've just been with the candidates, because the candidates, you know, it's still the case, are fabulously rich. It costs, I've just been trying to work it out, it's about $1 million to run a campaign here and try and get into Parliament. And these guys, you know, they own all the land and they own the cars. They got homes in every city and in London and New York and all that. And they're fighting it out. And then, of course, the destitute beggars in the shrine. And frankly, even with all the talk of change here, and people are desperate for change here, but even if they voted for change and Imran Khan got in, I bet you that beggar will still be begging in 5 years' time in that shrine in the city of Kasaur in northeast Pakistan.
In fact, we have a little of that sound, so we'll go out with that. The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones in Lahore, Pakistan, ahead of tomorrow's elections. Owen, thanks as always.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
Just listen to a little of that sound. Quite something. And quick heads up about our next story. More sound from cicadas here and now.